Hello, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now, with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 45 of Romans chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. All right, we're moving on into verse 23, and this is referring to people, mankind. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And then it also says birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. They changed the Creator into the creature. And that's what verse 25 points out. They worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Of course, that's all backwards. It's upside down. It's what should not be. But that's what man has done. He, in his sin, has become perverted. And the word perverted means to turn or to change. He turns grace into works. He turns God's glory into vain imaginations, into these idols of men and beasts. And it's why there's no hope for man. There's no hope for mankind in this world, in his fallen condition. The only hope for mankind was God's redemptive program, the salvation of certain ones, his elect. And God is going to soon finish things regarding his elect and regarding this world, and then create a new world, a new heaven, a new earth, where things are put right and there's the proper order, not as they now are presently, as we live in this corrupted earth, in this corrupted world and universe and entire creation. Well, let's look more closely at verse 23 and at the word changed. First of all, speaking of men who profess themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. They changed. The word changed is found six times in the New Testament, and it's used twice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the chapter where God goes in depth describing the resurrection. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." And not only do we have the word change, but we also have the word incorruptible and corruptible, just as we have in verse 23 of Romans chapter 1. incorruptible or uncorruptible are the same thing. And here God says that those that he has saved, his people, his chosen ones, will be changed. And the change that is in view is the corruptible part of them, which is their body. The Lord has already changed their soul, but he left those that he saved in physical bodies that are seeing corruption. But on the last day, in the day of the resurrection, in the day of the rapture, he will change them. They will be changed and made incorruptible, made immortal. They will receive eternal life in their body as God grants them new resurrected spiritual bodies, the change from corruptible flesh to the spirit. And this is the proper order when we read the Bible, that God will change his people, once again, from corruption to incorruption. We see the same thing concerning the creation in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, starting in verse 10, it says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Here, God is referring to the heavens, that would be the sky above, the space where sun, moon, stars, planets are located. The heavens are going to be changed like a vesture. God will fold them up, they'll be changed. Well, this is the same word we just saw in 1 Corinthians 15. And so obviously, it has the same meaning. It has the same meaning. God is going to make that which is corruptible, the heavens, and this would be a proof verse showing that it's not just the earth that God cursed and made corruptible, and not just man and creatures upon the earth, but it's also the heavens. Else, they would not need to be changed. If they were already incorruptible, there would be no need to make them incorruptible on the last day. But here God says they will be changed, and he will create a new heaven and a new earth, and that will be the removal of the curse, the removal of corruption upon the creation that the Lord made man and then had to curse because of man's sin. And so, again, this is the order. The heavens have seen corruption. They are changed. They are made incorruptible. Mankind, God's elect, have seen corruption. They are changed. They are made incorruptible. And this is the correct order. Man has reversed that, as we read again, Romans 1, verse 23, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So man takes the incorruptible, the uncorruptible God, and turns it into corruption. He goes the reverse way and attempts to corrupt the glory of the incorruptible God. And again, this is due to the perverse, fallen nature of mankind. Now, the word uncorruptible that's used to describe God in our verse is Strong's number 862. It's a compound word. It's a word that has the negative article, the alpha prefix attached, negating it. So it's the word corrupt or defile, and then when the alpha prefix is attached to it, it means not corrupt, not defiled. And this word with the alpha prefix attached is found seven times. It's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians 9, in an interesting passage. Starting in verse 24, we read, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Okay, so God is pointing out that the people of the world, they also attempt to bring their body under control. And just as that is God's command to his people, get control of your body. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And so once we become saved, then God starts to impress upon us the need not to allow any kind of thought to run through our head, or not to, gorge and overeat, or to go and drink, or to do things that are harmful to the body, like smoking or drugs or whatever. And so we start to get control of our body through his spirit, through the new born again soul. Now sin, which is no longer in our heart or in our soul, because that's made new, resides in the body, in our members. And God commands, crucify your members, mortify your flesh, the physical body. And slowly we begin to turn from sin, repent, and to keep the body under. That's our goal. We can't save the body. No, that's what God will do on the last day. All we can do is keep it from acting out, keep it from going after its lusts. And so we put it to death. Mortify means to kill. Mortify your members. Put it to death, not literally, of course, but by withholding the things that it desires from it. And this is a big part of running the Christian race. It's a battle within the individual elect child of God. And nobody knows, except for that individual and God himself, to what degree we're being successful or not. Eventually maybe people will start to see changes in us, but for the most part, nobody knows. It's a race we run, but there is a prize. It's an incorruptible crown. It is the crown of eternal life, of salvation, the crown that God has given everyone he's truly saved. And we strive, we put forth effort, sometimes tremendous effort on a daily basis, to press toward that mark and obtain that crown. But the people of the world, they also at times keep their body under. And you can see this with athletes, especially, whether they're high school athletes, college athletes, professional athletes, Olympic athletes, and often it's to win the prize. individual prizes, most valuable player, or the prize for the team to be the champion. And so men or people of the world strive in order to obtain a corruptible crown because their trophy is part of the world and it's a temporal thing. Their glory is a temporal thing, even if they do obtain what they're seeking for. And yet they think it's everything. They think it's everything and worth the sacrifice, worth all the effort they put in. And yet, it's soon forgotten. It's soon gone. Last year's champion is quickly forgotten by this, once this year's champion. But even in time in the world, things are quickly forgotten, let alone the fact that when God finishes up things, everything, all the glory of man, all the work that he put into obtaining corruptible crowns, corruptible glory, corruptible success of the things that he built and worked for and sought to obtain in his very worldly life, they're all gone. And that is what the Lord said in 1 John chapter 2, when he admonishes everyone not to love the world. He says in 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world passeth away. Very nonchalant statement. You know, God just sort of throws it out there, and yet it has all the meaning possible, that the world passes away and the lust thereof, all the things that the people of the world have been occupied with and spent their time on, their money, their resources, the things they cared most deeply about and they cried about and desired, oh, if I could only have this, and whether they got it or not, it's all gone. It's all gone and is no more. The thoughts of man perish in the day that he dies and they cease to be, and God has made it known that the former things are not brought into mind nor remembered. The things of mankind are gone forever. And yet these are the things that he strove for, that he endeavored to obtain, but it was all corruptible crown. Not so with the race that the Christian is to run. And it's why true Christianity, not corrupted Christianity that the church has put forth, but true Christianity of the Bible, the true Christian race that God lays before his people, is of tremendously more importance than all of the sports championships and all the honor and glory that men receive, because we are pressing toward, moving forward to reach finally an incorruptible crown. And that is glory. That is a great honor, to receive that crown, to have endured to the end. And then God places it upon us as he changes us into new creatures and makes us totally perfect in our new resurrected spiritual bodies. Well, now the word incorruptible is also found in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, a couple of times. And I'll start reading in verse 3. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And there is a wonderful description of eternal life to come. It's an incorruptible inheritance we obtain. It's undefiled. That is, it's not going to see corruption. It will not be defiled, as everything in this world, it does see corruption and is defiled. And it fadeth not away. Oh, the horror of glory and honor and good things fading away. We come into this world as babes and as children, and we don't know it. There's such excitement when we're young. Everything's new. Everything seems interesting. We're curious about everything. We see our parents in their strength and often in their youth, and are growing up in our neighborhoods, and everything for a time seems as though it will always be, but then there's the movement, the process of time from day to day, year to year, and then we see the truth. We see the truth, although we may not understand it. It's only when the Bible explains it that there can be understanding, but we see the truth that things fade away, that things see corruption, that things are defiled. And our grandparents, who were so lovely to us and we love them so much, they die. And then the sorrow of death comes. We see corruption accomplish its final work in the life of a man, and it takes his life, and death comes. And then maybe to our own parents and to others around us, and just all the things of the world. And God at the end actually is allowing the whole world itself to just rapidly progress into corruption, into defilement, into fading away, whatever remnant of goodness there was in this world, as God kept his hand upon the iniquity of man's heart, suppressing it down, allowing there to be an appearance of goodness and morality. But now the Lord's lifting his hand, and the very fabric of society itself has been shattered and ruined, and the world is showing its corruption, showing its defilement. And that's because it will soon be gone. Gone forever. Destroyed. It'll be removed. And so God is moving out this world in order to prepare to move in the new world, the new earth, where his people will receive this incorruptible, undefiled inheritance that will not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for each one that he has saved. And then also in verse 23 of 1 Peter 1, we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And in order for something to be incorruptible, it must necessarily be eternal. And so the word of God is incorruptible, eternal. And that's why it was able to enter into the hearts of certain ones chosen by God before the foundation of the world to receive it. And the incorruptible, eternal word of God fell upon their hearts and took root, and then brought forth a new born-again soul, born of incorruptible seed, and therefore the soul itself incorruptible. that which is incorruptible begets that which is incorruptible. That's why the heart where the new born-again soul is perfect without sin, and there we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, because the same word says it will act upon our body on the last day and bring forth new spiritual body that likewise will be incorruptible. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians 15. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And this is why the Word of God is pure and perfect and holy. There is no corruption. And it's also why Satan and his forces, his emissaries, natural-minded men, are always assailing, trying to malign and to impinge the character of the Holy Word of God. Oh, yeah, it was one time, they say, a perfect word, but it's been changed by the church. It's been changed by past generations of men. So they want us to believe there is no pure, holy, incorruptible Word of God any longer. Not so. Not so. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7 point out that God has preserved His Word and kept it from this generation forever. There's no one that has been able to corrupt a jot or a tittle of the original languages of the Bible, although multitudes have tried, and Satan certainly has been doing his very best for thousands of years to corrupt the Word of God, but it remains incorruptible, and that's a beautiful truth. It's a wonderful fact that the Bible alone is true and trustworthy, and we can lean upon it and know that the Bible is the one place in all the world, where there is absolute perfection and there is no perversion, no corruption, no defilement. And that's why the Word of Jehovah endureth forever. It will go on into eternity future.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.